الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم. بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We'll be covering inshallah the 14th juz today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins the juz by informing us what the condition of the disbelievers will be in the Akhirah. Yani they're going to wish and hope that they could be from the Muslimin. The same Muslims that they used to deride, the same Muslims that they used to argue against, they're going to wish they could have been from that group of people. So we're told to let them temporarily enjoy themselves, and that every nation has an appointed term, and that that's a term that they can't change. And these are the same people that used to call the prophets crazy. They used to call them Majnun. And they used to say things like, why don't you bring an angel with you? And the fact of the matter is, if they had brought an angel with them, it would have been too late. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about how He is the one who has revealed the Qur'an. So the same Qur'an that they're rejecting, I mean, who's sending it down? It's Allah. And He's the one who's going to protect it. And the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected the Qur'an is in the hearts of the memorizers of the Qur'an and the Hufaz. And then we're told how the previous, and that's actually a miracle in and of itself. There is no book that has been memorized the like of the Qur'an. And people memorize it who don't even understand, you know, a single word in it, or hardly a single word in it, and yet they're able to memorize it. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِذِكْرِ فَهَلْ مِنْ مُدَّكِرِ. In any case, we'll see that later, inshallah, in the 28th juz. In any case, previous nations were also sent the message, but you know, instead of accepting it, they made fun of it. And these are the people who, you know, if they could find a stairway to heaven, such people, and they would go up there, they still wouldn't believe. Their hearts are that hard, and they're that misguided. And what a heaven it is. I mean, He's made beautiful stars there, and He's beautified the sky for us. And He's guarded it from the listening of the shayateen, who go up and try to get the news from the heavens. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, you know, safeguarded those with the shihab, like the comets, or the falling, the shooting stars. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, I mean, so that's what He's done, the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heavens. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also spread the earth. And He's put pegs in the earth, meaning the mountains. And this was a miracle itself, because for the Bedouin, all they saw was a mountain that was sticking up above the ground. They had no idea that it was much deeper than it was above the ground, and that it had served as a stabilizing factor for the tectonic plates. And then we're told how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the wind, and He sends the rain, and He gives life and death, and then He made our life in this world. Like, all of these are blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He knows all about it, right? He knows all about these things because He's the one who made it, and He will gather us in the hereafter. Then we're told how man is made from dried mud, and jinns are made from smokeless fire, and that becomes a segue to discuss the story of Adam alayhi salam. So He breathed the spirit into man, and then all fell prostrate in terms of the angels, except for Iblis. And so he was cast out and he was cursed. But instead of humbling himself, like, you know, that like Adam alayhi salam did. Now, Adam alayhi salam, the mistake he did, it wasn't even, you know, it was a mistake, but he wasn't, you know, he wasn't sinning against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in that situation, you know, when he had this humility to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Shaitan did the opposite. He blamed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, no, you're the one who made me go astray. And we'll see later in the same juz that this is the same attitude of the disbelievers. And he vows to beautify things which are wrong, basically, for man, and mislead man. And so he's our sworn enemy. And this was going to be the case, that he will mislead, you know, a huge portion of mankind, except for the chosen slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for whom guidance was decreed. And then all the others are going to enter into fire with the seven doors. But the muttaqeen will be in Jannah, and they will not have any rancor and any type of hatred for each other. And, you know, they will have such a beautiful connection with each other. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs the Prophet to tell us, that tell my slaves that I am merciful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions His mercy first. But then He reminds us, وَأَنَّ أَذَابِي هُوَ الْأَذَابُ الْأَلِيمُ, that my punishment, you know, if it comes, whoa, it's painful. And one of those slaves, right, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had was Ibrahim alayhi salam. So the angels came to him and they gave him the glad tiding of his help. And he was astonished that, you know, he's going to have a child in his old age. And then they also gave him the information that they were being sent to the people of Lut alayhi salam. And when they came to the nation of Lut, the people of his nation, Sodom and Gomorrah, came racing to get these angels, and they were actually intoxicated by their desire. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, he swears by the life of the Prophet sallallahu, and there's no other thing that Allah, no other human being that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sworn by than the Prophet sallallahu. And that shows the amruka innahum lafi sakratihim ya'mahun. So that is a distinct distinction that the Prophet sallallahu had, and no one else. In any case, and this was a desire that blinded them. And then Lut alayhi salam was told how to escape and not to turn back. And then these people were taken by an awful cry, an awful clap, and they were turned upside down. And the nation of Shu'aib alayhi salam was also zalim. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala avenged against them, and they were destroyed by Sayhad with that awful cry. And, you know, they thought they were making these houses in the mountains. And they used to feel secure because, like, what can shake a mountain? But that came to no avail when the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came. And then we're told how the final hour is coming. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the Prophet a grand Quran, and he has given us this grand Quran. So we should suffice with it, and we shouldn't go after just the luxuries of the world. I mean, we have no greater treasure than the Quran. And and he was informed to stay firm on what he's been ordered to do, and to proclaim the message, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of those who are making fun of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the mushrikeen. And he's sort of giving this consolation to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, you know, I know it hurts you, the things that they're saying. But he tells him how to deal with that, which is through prayer, and to keep on worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala till the day that he dies. Now we're going to begin Surah An-Nahl. And this surah begins by telling us that the final hour has actually come. Yani has come close. And he has chosen his messenger, and he chooses his messenger to warn us, and that he has created us, not only us, but also the animals around us that benefit us. And they provide beauty, they provide transportation, amongst other benefits. And then he talks about how he sends the rain. And in Surah An-Nahl, we just see so many of the ni'mat of Allah. And so he sends the rain, and he brings forth vegetation and fruits and drink. And he makes the night for us to sleep and the day for us to work. And he makes varying colors in the earth. And he has even subjugated the very seas for us so that we can get fish, and then we can take on ornaments, and then we can, you know, the waters are in such a manner that we can actually take boats and ships and, you know, ride them in the sea and navigate the seas. And so in a sense, he's made this whole world subjugated to be under us. And if we were to try to count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tuhsuha, you wouldn't be ever able to count them. So is there anyone like him? I mean, compare that to his partners who are dead. They don't even hear. And that is in direct, you know, opposition to the one God that we have, who knows that which is open and that which is secret. Unfortunately, the believers, when you tell them about, you know, I mean, we saw so many stories of the prophets, you know, in just in the previous surah. When you tell them about the Quran, they just call it old tales, right? They call it like fairy tales. And these people are going to carry the weight of their misguidance, and also the other people that they misled. And they're going to be humiliated in the hereafter. And the Quran talks about death and the final abode of the people who are disbelievers versus the people who are believers. You know, like the people who are believers, Allah, I mean, the angels, Assalamu alaikum. It's such a beautiful passing away and a beautiful thing that they're going to go to. And the opposite is true of the disbelievers. And, you know, when you think about how grotesque and absolutely terrifying Jahannam is, you know, sometimes people have a hard time coming to terms with that. How can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punish someone like that? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it clear, like, I'm not doing zulm. It's your own evil that you were doing that actually caught up with you in the end. And these people, you know, the same way that they blamed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, they will try to make the same false argument in the akhirah. They will say, they'll blame Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they said that, look, if you don't want us to be misguided, then we wouldn't have been. In any case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to that by pointing them to the fact that he did send them and send to each people messengers telling them one clear message. That was to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why didn't you just listen to it? And some people did. Right? They did listen to it, and other people were misguided. And we're told, go and see what happened to those people who used to falsify the message. And these are the same people who swore up and down that, you know, there's no resurrection, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will surely make the resurrection happen just to settle the matter. And so they will know that it really happened and this was truth. Then we're told about the muhajireen and how they will have reward. And theirs was the way of sabr and tawakkul. And we're told how all the messengers were just men. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the people who were evil plotters. You know, there's these people who just engage in making fasad and plotting. Did they feel safe from the punishment of Allah? You know, it could happen any time. The ground could swallow them up. They could come from the place that they fear the most. They could be going around their normal day and might hit them. And they're being asked, don't you see that everything around you submits to Allah? Even the set shadow is in sajda. So worship one Allah, not two. Every blessing that you have is actually from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know that when times get hard, you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then when the good times come, then some people, instead of, you know, making good on their promise, they just turn their backs on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, just wait, you'll see. And these are people who make a portion, I mean, these disbelievers and mushrikeen, they make a portion of this risk that Allah gave them for someone other than Allah. So Allah gives them that risk, and then they apportion a portion of that for their idols or their other partners. And then they go around making doubters for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When this is something that was so hated in, you know, in Arabian culture and Jahiliyyah, so much so that they would bury their daughters. So there used to, and this whole attitude of treating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like a second-hand citizen, that the things that they don't like for themselves, they give that for Allah in ascribing that for him. So it's like super unfair. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs that if he were to take people with their sins, then no one would be left. So, and these people are so deluded that they actually think that they're on the right and they're going to have a good, you know, outcome and there's good for them, but actually they're headed to the fire. Then we're told how the Quran is sent as a mercy and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the rain to give life to the dead earth. And then how there's, like in the cattle, there's a lesson. You look at how pure milk comes out from the midst of so many impurities that exist within the animal, the GI tract, the blood, so on and so forth. And it's a miracle. And there's signs in the dates and date trees and in the grapes. And also in the bee, and how it navigates and makes honey. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who's giving us our risk. And he's so giving. He calls us out by saying, look, if any of you were given wealth and you had a slave, would you give them all your wealth in such a way to make them equal to you? I mean, no one does that. People are so tight-fisted when it comes to their own wealth. So he says, so do you deny the favor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given upon us? And then he gave, on top of that, he gave his spouses and he gave his progeny and he also gives them risk too. So why should we worship someone who does none of that, who doesn't give risk and who's not able to do anything? Then we're given two parables. The one first one is one of a slave who can't do anything. And the one other one is the one who has risk and spends it. And this is the parable of the believer and the disbeliever. And the second parable is the one of a dumb slave who's a burden on his master, and he doesn't bring good anywhere he goes. And this is compared to the one who orders with fairness. So, sorry about that. So then we're asked to look at the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He takes us out, you know, as neonates. We don't know anything. And he makes for us our senses, and the ability to see, the ability to hear. These are such complex things. And then, you know, the birds that are suspended in the air, he makes houses for us, he gives us clothes, he gives us shade, he gives us safe places to stay. And there are those people, these disbelievers, they recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this gift, that these are gifts of Allah, and then they reject. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs the Prophet that they might turn away, so just convey. In the Akhirah, the mushrikeen, you know, it will just be, people will go berserk. They're going to throw the very people that they followed, their leaders, the people that they made as a sharik, as a partner under the bus. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring a witness from each nation, and the Prophet will also be brought forth as a witness. Then we're told how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders with justice and ihsan and forbids evil and rebellion and indecency. He tells us to fulfill our covenants and not to break our oaths and not to use oaths for usurpation, for deception, for illicit gain. Because whatever was with us, I mean, the things that you're going to get from these false means, it's going to get exhausted anyway. You have to leave it behind, and it's going to end. But whatever is with Allah, that remains. مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدُ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ. Then we're told to seek refuge when we read the Quran. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about some of those people who make arguments against the Prophet, some of the arguments that they make. So when an ayah is abrogated, they say, oh, look, this is something that he's just making up. But what they don't understand is that there was a progression that occurred in Revelation, and there's abrogation that does occur. And we saw that earlier, مَا نَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ أَوْ نُنْسِهَا نَأْتِ بِخَيْرٍ مِنْهَا, you know, in the first ajza, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings something better. But that this is important is that this was actually an interaction between the Prophet and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Sahaba and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was a very real interaction that was going on, as you know, they saw the revelation unfold according to their circumstances. And that strengthens the heart and strengthens that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not something which is theoretical. And then one of the other arguments is they say, oh, look, someone else came and just taught him this, right? And then the Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes such a powerful argument. He says, you know, the person that you're saying that came and taught him this Quran, you know, and all these other stories of the past nations, he's ajami. This Quran is, I mean, it's in Arabic. And what about the linguistic miracle of the Quran that you yourself recognize? This is unlike anything that you've ever heard before. So it doesn't explain it. And if you're going to come up with a hypothesis, it should stand the test of, it should be testable, right? It should be verifiable. And then we're told not to turn from iman to kufr unless we're coerced. And the people who do turn back from iman and go back to kufr is because they actually prefer the dunya and their hearts are sealed. And then we're given the similitude of a nation who has all this risk, and then they are ungrateful, and then they fall into a situation where they hunger. And, you know, it's similar to a person who has iman, and they have the, you know, risk of tawfiq, of hidayah, of rahmah, and then they turn ungrateful, they leave their iman, and then they fall into this the poverty of kufr, and the poverty of disbelief. And these are people who denied the messenger. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what foods are haram, and that we shouldn't make up our own rules about what's allowed and what's not allowed. He tells us how tawbah is for those who sin, who then come right. Then we're told about Ibrahim alayhi salam, in the way he described, he was an ummah in himself. He was like a nation himself. He was a mountain. He was thankful. He was salih. He was righteous. And we're told that the Prophet was to, and we are told to actually follow his way. There's a brief mention made about the Sabbath, but then the just ends by telling the Prophet to call to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with hikmah, and to debate in a way that is best, and to be fair in settling cases. And if you're patient, if you're able to punish someone, don't punish them more than what they leveled against you. But if you're patient, that's better. And sabr is a gift that can only come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Prophet, we're told, it is said that don't be sad about those who plot, because in the end we realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the people who do ihsan, you know, the righteous people, the people who excel in their deen. Allahumma ja'alna minhum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make us from amongst them. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.